You are listening to the life of Jesus Christ in a year, from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich, from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I will be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations, available from TAN. Before we get to today's readings, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings. We graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ our Lord and Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God, and through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day one, and in this episode, we will begin reading from volume one. We will start with the introductory remarks and continue into chapter one and two. Life of our Lord Jesus Christ, the creation. Introductory remarks. Of the visions of her childhood, Sister Emmerich tells us, when, in my sixth year, I reflected on the first article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. There passed before my soul innumerable pictures of the creation of heaven and earth. I saw the fall of the angels, the creation of the earth and paradise, that of Adam and Eve, and the fall of man. I thought everyone saw this, as we do other things around us. And I spoke of it freely to my parents, brothers, sisters, and playmates, but they laughed at me. They asked me whether I had a book containing all these things. And so I began to keep silence concerning them. I thought, though, without much reflection, that perhaps it was not proper to speak on such subjects. I held these visions by night and by day, in the fields, in the house, sitting or walking, and when engaged in all kinds of employments, one day at school, I happened to speak of the resurrection, describing it differently from what we had been taught. I felt certain that everyone knew it just as I did. I did not dream that there was anything peculiar in my account of it. But the children gazed at me in wonder and laughed, while the master reproved me gravely and warned me not to indulge such imaginations. My visions continued, but I kept them to myself. I was like a child looking at a picture book, explaining the pictures in its own way, but not thinking much about their meaning. They represented the saints or scenes from sacred history, sometimes in one way, sometimes in another. They produced no change in my faith. They were merely my picture book. I gazed upon them quietly and always with the good thought, all to the greater glory of God in spiritual things. I have never put faith in anything but what God the Lord has revealed to the Catholic Church for our belief, whether it be written or not. I have never believed so firmly what I have seen in vision. I looked upon the latter as I devoutly regard here and there the various cribs at Christmas. I feel no annoyance at their difference in style, for in each I adore the same dear little infant Jesus. And so it is with those pictures of the creation of heaven, earth, and man. In them I adore God the Lord, the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. 1. The Fall of Angels. I saw spreading out before me a boundless, resplendent space, above which floated a globe of light shining like a sun. I felt that it was the unity of the Trinity. In my own mind, I named it the One Voice, and I watched it producing its effects. Below the globe of light arose concentric circles of radiant choirs of spirits, wondrously bright and strong and beautiful. The second world of light floated like a sun under that higher sun. These choirs came forth from the higher sun as if born of love. Suddenly, I saw some of them pause, wrapped in the contemplation of their own beauty. They took complacency in self. They sought the highest beauty in self. They thought but of self. They existed but in self. At first, all were lost in contemplation out of self, but soon some of them rested in self. At that instant, I saw this part of the glittering choirs hurled down, their beauty sunk in darkness, while the others, thronging quickly together, filled up their vacant places. And now the good angels occupied a smaller space. I did not see them leaving their places to pursue and combat the fallen choirs. The bad angels rested in self and fell away, while those that did not follow their example thronged into their vacant places. All this was instantaneous. Then rising from below, I saw a dark disk, the future abode of the fallen spirits. I saw that they took possession of it against their will. It was much smaller than the sphere from which they had fallen, and they appeared to me to be closely crowded together. I saw the fall of the angels in my childhood, and ever after, day and night, I dreaded their influence. I thought they must do great harm to the earth, for they are always around it. It is well they have no bodies, else they would obscure the light of the sun. We should see them floating around us like shadows. Immediately after the fall, I saw the spirits in the shining circles humbling themselves before God. They did homage to him and implored pardon for the fallen angels. At that moment, I saw a movement in the luminous sphere in which God dwelt. Until then, it had been motionless and, as I felt, awaiting that prayer. After that action on the part of the angelic choirs, I felt assured that they would remain steadfast, that they would never fall away. It was made known to me that God in his judgment, in his eternal sentence against the rebel angels, decreed the reign of strife until their vacant thrones are filled. But to fill those thrones seemed to me almost impossible, for it would take so long. The strife will, however, be upon the earth. There will be no strife above, for God has so ordained. After I had received this assurance, I could no longer sympathize with Lucifer, for I saw that he had cast him down by his own free, wicked will. Neither could I feel such anger against Adam. On the contrary, I felt great sympathy for him, because I thought it has been thus ordained. 2. Creation of the Earth. Immediately after the prayer of the faithful choirs and that movement in the Godhead, I saw below me, not far from and to the right of the world of shadows, another dark globe arise. I fixed my eyes steadily upon it. I beheld it as if in movement, growing larger and larger, as it were bright spots breaking out upon it and encircling it like luminous bands. Here and there they stretched out into brighter, broader planes. And at that moment, I saw the form of the land setting boundaries to the water. In the brightest places, I saw a movement as of life, and on the land, I beheld vegetation springing forth and myriads of living things arising. Child that I was, I fancied the plants were moving about. Up to this moment, there was only a gray light, like the sunrise, like early morn, breaking over the earth, like nature awakening from sleep. And now all other parts of the picture faded. The sky became blue, the sun burst forth, but I saw only one part of the earth lighted up and shining. That was charming, glorious, and I thought, there's paradise. While these changes were going on upon the dark globe, I saw, as it were, a streaming forth of light out of that highest of all the spheres, the God sphere, that sphere in which God dwelt. It was as if the sun rose higher in the heavens, as if bright morning were awakening. It was the first morning. No created being had any knowledge of it, and it seemed as if all those created things had been there, forever in their unsullied innocence. As the sun rose higher, I saw the plants and trees growing larger and larger. The waters became clearer and holier. Colors grew purer and brighter. All was unspeakably charming. Creation was not then as it is now. Plants and flowers and trees had other forms. They are wild and misshapen now compared with what they were, for all things are now thoroughly degenerate. When looking at the plants and fruits of our gardens, apricots, for instance, which in southern climates are, as I have seen, so different from ours, so large, magnificent, and delicious, I often think, as miserable as are our fruits compared with those of the south, are the latter when compared with the fruits of paradise. I saw their roses white and red, and I thought them symbols of Christ's passion and our redemption. I saw also palm trees and others high and spreading, which cast their branches afar, as if forming roofs. Before the sun appeared, earthly things were puny, but in his beams they gradually increased in size, until they attained full growth. The trees did not stand close together. Of all plants, at least of the largest, I saw only one of each kind, and they stood apart like seedlings set out in a garden bed. Vegetation was luxuriant, perfectly green, of a species pure, sound, and exempt from decay. Nothing appeared to receive or to need the attention of an earthly gardener. I thought, how is it that all is so beautiful, since as yet there are no human beings? Ah, sin has not yet entered. There has been no destruction, no rending asunder. All is sound, all is holy. As yet, there has been no healing, no repairing. All is pure. Nothing has needed purification. The plain that I beheld was gently undulating and covered with vegetation. In its center rose a fountain, from all sides of which flowed streams, crossing one another and mingling their waters. I saw in them first a slight movement as of life, and then I saw living things. After that, I saw here and there among the shrubs and bushes animals peeping forth, as if just roused up from sleep. They were very different from those of a latter day, not at all timorous. Compared with those of our own time, they were almost as far their superior as men are superior to beasts. They were pure and noble, nimble and joyous. Words cannot describe them. I was not familiar with many of them, for I saw very few like those we have now. I saw the elephant, the stag, the camel, and even the unicorn. This last I saw also in the ark. It is remarkably gentle and affectionate, not so tall as a horse, its head more rounded in shape. I saw no asses, no insects, no wretched, loathsome creatures. These last I have always looked upon as a punishment of sin. But I saw myriads of birds, and I heard the sweetest notes as in the early morning. There were no birds of prey that I could see, nor did I hear any animals bellowing. Paradise is still in existence, but it is utterly impossible for man to reach it. I have seen that it still exists in all its splendor. It is high above the earth and in an oblique direction from it, like the dark globe of the angels fallen from heaven. This concludes our reading for today, the first day of our reading of the life of Jesus Christ from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich. And each day after the reading, I will be providing simply what stood out to me. So consider the fact that when you do Lectio Divina, if you pray with the sacred scriptures, for example, that as you pray, you might pause, that a word or a phrase might speak to you. And so as I go along and as I read, I haven't prepared these remarks. They are extemporaneous. What happens is I put a check mark in the margins, and then I go back and I then give my little commentary right after the reading. So it's me reacting to this reading for the first time of me hearing it. Because like you, I haven't read this text before. And so as I encounter it, I'm encountering it for the very first time. We began today with our introductory remarks, and we then read chapter 1 and chapter 2. I thought it was quite beautiful, in a sense, how Anne Catherine Emmerich related her experience of the mystical in her life. That as she shares that all throughout her childhood, she had these different visions and such. She thought everybody had them. But no, not everybody has these visions of scriptural things. Not everyone is able to imagine them as rich as she was able to in her childhood. What I think this shows us is that as she relates this in the introductory remarks, that already we see that God had a special purpose for this young girl. That God was going to use her in her life of religion, to accomplish great things for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. In our opening prayer that we began today's episode with, and we'll begin each of the episodes with, we heard that she was a stigmatist, that she had the wounds of Jesus in her body, that she who saw the suffering of Jesus also identified in that suffering. She was a chosen soul by God, and that's what I think we hear. But how interesting it is, just to maybe grasp a little bit, to get a little glimpse into the spiritual life of Anne Catherine Emmerich as a young girl, and how God was showing her things and revealing things. She mentions here the various cribs at Christmases and how they're different in style than what she had seen. But she didn't let that bother her. This is God who is revealing. God is showing Anne Catherine Emmerich these things. And I think that sets the scene for the rest of the four volumes as we read of them together, as we reflect on them, that this is what she sees. This is what she experiences. This is the fruit of meditation and imaginative prayer. Maybe at times too of mystical revelations. God is allowing her to see these things, and now how blessed we are for us to read them and to unpack them and to see what benefit they have in our life. I don't know the origin of the story of the fall of the angels, but I remember that was a story, and this is the first chapter that we read today. But it's something that I became very familiar with when I was very young, going through religious education. We heard about the fall. We heard about how Satan, Lucifer, was an angel and the prideful fall of the angel and how then he was really separated from God. And then there are the good angels. So today we heard the fall of the angels in that first reading. And so just as we have the fall of the angels in a few readings from now, we'll have the fall of man. That as God creates the heaven and the earth and creates Adam and Eve, that not only did Lucifer fall, but then man is going to fall too. So this is, maybe as we heard the fall, I saw the fall of the angels in my childhood, and ever after, day and night, I dreaded their influence. But maybe we have some recollection of that story of the fall of the angels as well. One that we heard in our childhood, as I recollect it so readily myself. In our second chapter today, we spoke about the creation of the earth. And we have God dwelling in the earth. With these changes were going on about the dark globe, I saw, as it were, a streaming forth of light out of the highest of all the spheres, the God sphere, that sphere in which God dwelt. God creates the heavens and the earth. What we have to realize is that God has always existed. God is the unmoved mover, that he always was, that there never was a moment when God was not. But it is this God who always existed, who now is beginning this work of creation, the creation of the earth, the plants and the fruits and the animals, the vegetation, all of the different things that we heard about today. Now, when we look at creation, as we look at flowers, for example, well, could they communicate something of the spiritual? Well, for Anne Catherine Emmerich, they do. I saw their roses, white and red, and I thought them symbols of Christ's passion and our redemption. One of the interesting things about flowers is that there's a tradition of the Mary garden and all of these different flowers related to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So we have flowers in that regard that bespeak faith and devotion. And then we have, for example, at Easter time, we have the Easter lilies. And what does the lily look like? It looks like a trumpet. And that's announcing that Christ is risen. So even in creation, it communicates something of the supernatural, something that we believe. The plain that I beheld was gently undulating and covered with vegetation. In its center rose a fountain, from all sides of which flowed streams crossing one another and mingling their waters. I saw in them first a slight movement as of life, and then I saw living things. I think it's interesting that a fountain is at the center of creation. Water. Jesus will later say in the Gospel of John that he is the living water. And then we have these different visions in the Old Testament of water coming forth from the temple. I think water and a fountain can often be depicted as kind of the fountain of grace, the fountain of life, the fountain of supernatural life. And when I hear that, that's immediately what I'm drawn to. That's what I think of, this fountain. And then she shares about what she saw in creation. She saw horses and animals, describes a unicorn. So, you know, I don't know. Is it a mythical creature? What do we make of the fact a unicorn existing in this account of private revelations from Anne Catherine Emmerich. I saw no asses, no insects, no wretched, loathsome creatures. I have always looked upon them as punishment of sin. Isn't the mosquito bothersome to us? Maybe it is a punishment for sin. It stings us. Why does it have to sting us? And then it itches and it hurts. It bleeds if we open it. Maybe a product of the fall. As this reading was taking place, at one point she said, sin has not yet entered in, that there's perfection, that there's no chaos. And so what we hear today in this reading from Anne Catherine Emmerich, from the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelations, what we hear is that God had a specific order in creation, that creation and what it was supposed to be like from the very beginning. She was able to experience the before. And now as we continue our reading in the next days, we will get the experience after the fall, when sin and chaos and disorder enter into the world. This brings us to an end of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you, and Mary pray for you.